Hey, Noah.
What's up, buddy?
I've got a new sometimes the bear eats you too. Not sometimes the air beats you, but sometimes the bear eats you too. For you.
I got a shovel. What's up?
I figure it might be a special episode, something maybe near and dear to your heart.
Now I'm intrigued.
Intrigued. Well, let me answer your intrigue with a question.
Okay.
Noah.
Hit it. Go ahead. Ask me.
Do you like wrestling?
Yes.
I thought so. Now, do you like the corporate bells and whistles, explosions and superstars sort of wrestling? Or do you like independent wrestling, Noah?
I prefer independent, although I was watching Monday Night Raw and saw Santa Claus get hit by a BMW, so I like that too.
Just say Indy.
Indy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, just for you, Noah,
yeah.
I talked with the man known simply as Michael and the Great American Beast, both of Dayton's own Rockstar Pro Wrestling.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Wait, I mean, you just did this like today, or?
Yeah.
Was there a match today, or?
No.
Oh, you're just like hanging out having coffee, or like, hey, you know.
There's the Beast.
There's the Beast. He's hanging out, you know, sipping his latte, doing his thing. Is that how it went down, or no, that's probably not.
This is my life now, Noah.
Get used to it.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of Sometimes the Bear Eats You Too, here on AquaBearLegion.com. We have a special guest with us this time, two special guests even. Our last episode featured a lot of different things about the city of Dayton, Ohio, and how you can have fun and do cool things in Dayton. And this special episode, we're going to feature Rockstar Pro Wrestling, Dayton's own pro wrestling organization, and I've been going to these matches for, I don't know, maybe about a year now, and it is awesome and only getting awesomer. It's highly, highly entertaining, but you don't need me to tell you about that. I have with me today, in the studio, formerly known as Benjamin Michael, now the man simply known as Michael.
How you doing, man?
And in addition, we have from the Full Moon Wrecking Crew, the Great American Beast. And a beast we were lucky enough to separate from his handler Hooks and tag team partner Matt Brannigan. So, you know, hopefully we'll be safe in his presence. He seems to be content as long as we rub his belly and scratch his beard. I think we'll be all right. So, let me start with you, Michael. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of Rockstar Pro and maybe how you got involved with the organization?
Rockstar Pro was a concept. It actually goes back a couple years ago. I come from the nature of the beast of the music industry. I've been doing the music industry for over 15 years, traveled all over the world, Europe, Japan, South America, United States, Canada, all over the place. Got to tour with many, many famous bands all over the world.
Awesome. Can you name drop a little?
I can name a few, like Slackers, Yellow Card, Anti-Flag, High on Fire.
Excellent.
And so on. So the list goes on forever.
Yeah.
And as I, you know, kind of, I naturally was younger when I got in the industry and kind of grew up with that industry. Mm-hmm. And for me, in my life, the two passions I have the most for was one, music, mm-hmm. and the second one was wrestling.
Okay.
Which people really don't realize how much the worlds are almost the same, mm-hmm. as far as like behind a curtain. The worlds are very, very similar, you know? Mm-hmm. So, always liked it. And, you know, after being with music for years and years and years, I was kind of starting to lose, like, the thrill of it.
Yeah.
It was just more of a job than anything else.
Right.
And I kind of wanted something in my life that was still gave me that passion, that mm-hmm. thrill. And therefore, out of music, I started transforming into wrestling. First of all, we tried to find someone to train with that I thought was a good trainer, someone right. I could trust. I had a bunch of names in schools come to me and say, hey, do this and that. But honestly, the first guy who ever trained me was John Moxley, which is now Dean Ambrose in the WWE.
Awesome, yeah. He's on a hell of a tear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel lucky, just like how I got lucky in the music industry, by the first guy who kind of took me under his wing and trained me. I mean, I trained him for about 6-7 months. It was basically just him beating me up, showing right. me the, you know, showing me how to do it, showing me how to work crowd, very basic of wrestling.
Right.
But, you know, he was young, and he was trying to learn how to teach people. At that moment in time, he was still, to this day, a phenomenal worker, great mm-hmm. wrestler. But, yeah, he took me and was like, hey, come, I'll train for 6-7 months. But as the training went on, he kept getting more popular and popular and right. popular. So yeah. he came to me one day and goes, dude, I'm sorry, I can't do this training anymore because I'm on the road so much.
Yeah.
So I went out and looked for another guy to train with. And a lot of people were throwing the name Cody Hawk to me.
Right.
So I went out and looked for his Cody Hawk and found he had a school. Well, the day I was going to his school to start training with him is the day that place closed.
Oh, wow.
So once again, I was like, oh, this can't be, you know, come on, you know.
Yeah.
So my brother and I both went out, looked for buildings and talked to Cody. I was like, listen, dude. If we get a place for you to train, me, my brother, and a couple other guys, mm-hmm. will you still do that? And at that moment in time, he was kind of basically like, I'm just done with it, you know. Yeah. You know, the industry's kind of worn me down, this sure. and that. But I could still see a little bit of spark in his eyes. Yeah. I'm like, you know.
It's a hard thing to get over, wrestling.
Oh, it really is. It's like, you know, we all get older and yeah. more responsible, right. but I feel like there's still the kid inside of us that needs that fulfillment
oh,
of
absolutely.
Opening up the new toy on Christmas, you
right.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, wrestling was a new toy on Christmas, you know? Awesome. Yeah. But in a more responsible manner, you know?
Sure.
And so eventually we found a little small, literally a barn.
Yeah.
A barn that had no heat, no water. I said, hey, Hawk, here's what we got. Let's stick the ring in there and train us for a little bit and see what happens.
Yeah.
So he did that. You know, and we trained like crazy. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. But at a certain time, we had the barn. We were also looking for a building.
Yeah.
And we wanted a building to find where he could train us, we could do wrestling shows, and also for we could do music and bring concerts to the city of Dayton. Because, you know, in my opinion, the more legs you put on your table, mm-hmm. the bigger meal you can put on your table.
Right.
You know, you keep eating. Everyone's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hand in hand. We're talking about both businesses are based off entertainment for people.
Right.
And there's no other better entertainment than I feel music and mm-hmm. wrestling, in my opinion, because right. it's just so. It goes back to days of vaudevilleness.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't exist anymore. The closest to vaudevilleness you have anymore is wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoyed it. So, long story short, found the building, trained there for like almost 8 months, like with Cody. Mm-hmm. Found a couple buildings, nothing quite fit us correct, because we wanted to make sure we went somewhere, we were there.
Right.
And it accommodated our needs and
yeah.
really what we wanted to bring to the city and to
right.
other people wrestling, like, here's this, you know.
Right.
So we looked out, we found this building mm-hmm. here at, you know, 1106 East 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it was like, it was meant to be, like,
yeah.
we pull up, me and my brother are looking at the building, this and that. Next thing you know, this guy, this older gentleman comes towards us in a golf cart.
Yeah.
It's the landlord, and he starts talking to us, we start talking to him, and we kind of just hit it off,
yeah.
and, you know, my brother and I have a lot to us being here owed to that landlord guy, because
yeah.
he is, in my opinion, one of the best business guys I've ever met
That's
in my life. You
yeah.
know, he truly knows what it takes to start from nothing
yeah.
and have something to show for what your hard work has to go. So, you know, and then it's been all good. Now we've been here for, in February, we'll be here for a year, you know? And nothing really bad. The building's been great. Yeah. Had no problems outside, inside. Nothing really to complain about, you know, and the crowds seem to be getting better.
Yeah.
The shows are getting better. You know, we're getting tons of stuff booked for spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
This building's going great. Now we got training here. And in the last few months, you know, we're getting some high name people to come here are just like,
yeah,
calls out of nowhere, like, can we come and wrestle? And we're like, yes. Yeah. You know, and a lot of that goes to Cody Hawk, because Cody Hawk has trained so many people. I mean, because of Cody Hawk, I got to train with Nigel McGuinness.
Right.
You know, on his retirement tour, I got to train with him.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to meet all these fantastical wrestlers.
Yeah.
Because of Cody, for some reason, not for some reason, but the reason is Cody is a phenomenal trainer.
Yeah.
Amazing guy, great personality,
yeah,
fantastic in the ring. He could work with anybody.
WWE
could call him right now and go, be ready for WrestleMania, and he would be there.
Yeah.
And probably have one of the top five best matches of the night.
Yeah. I can't speak to the training because I obviously haven't trained, but just to see him interact with the crowd and to see, you know, the, like you said, he's so personable. People just get drawn, I think,
yeah,
to that sort of personality.
Yeah. I like to say he has kind of like a cult personality.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're around a guy, you're like, wow, I feel like he's doing something right. I should follow this guy,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, 90% of the time is the cool and best thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great. I'm really glad that I found someone like that. And then he was able to provide me with something in my life that I wasn't quite getting from the music business. My heart wasn't in the music business anymore.
Right.
But he found a place for my heart to go, and that was in wrestling. And to this day, I love it. I love it as much as when I was 17 years old and getting in the van to go tour California for the first time.
Right.
You know? And, I have a lot to thank him for doing, helping us out with that. But, the building's great. And like I said, we're new people are coming here, you know. 1 year anniversary is coming up, and on 18th, you know, I'm really worried. I'm with Mathis right now.
Right.
And he's kind of giving me guidance and giving me a little bit more of the, a bloodthirsty taste for the industry, which I know a lot of people don't want that or need that, but in opinion, I kind of need it because it gives me that extra strive to be better.
Right.
And sometimes you have, in my opinion, you have to be evil sometimes to get your achievements.
I see.
See, Beast doesn't like when I use that word.
Beast is, as scary as he may look to some, he has a heart of gold, it would seem. Fair enough. Well, you know, different paths for different people, I suppose.
Yes.
Some people take the high road and some take another.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's great that things, you know, obviously it took a while, but for things to come together so nicely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the 18th. You mentioned the match coming up with Mathis and Cody Hawk.
Yeah.
Ron Mathis being the only undefeated wrestler still in Rockstar Pro. And he and Cody will be in, is it Rockstar's first steel cage match?
It will be Rockstar's first steel cage match. Yeah.
And that's on January 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 7, bell at 7:30.
Yeah, it should be normal times. Yeah.
All right, what do you expect from that matchup?
Nothing but great workmanship in that ring.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm on Team Mathis right now, you know, but Cody is the man who trained me, you know.
So a bit
it's
torn.
It's a bit conflict inside of me, you know, but ultimately I'm a team guy.
Right.
You know, so I have to pull for Mathis and wherever decisions need to be made because that's, like I said, I'm on Team Mathis right now.
Fair enough.
I can appreciate Hawk, and if he gets beat, which I think that's going to happen, then I'll gladly go in and help him up.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
That's fair. What are some other highlights from the card on the 18th?
Matt Taylor and Aaron Williams, I Quit match.
Mm-hmm.
Two phenomenal wrestlers. I never met Matt Taylor until he came to Rockstar Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's workmanship and his concept of matches just blew me away. It was great. And honestly, for me now to team up with Mathis and Taylor, it's great for me because I'm trying to get more into the Japanese strong style.
I see.
and understanding the true concept of that. Like, for me, I grew up on ECW.
Right.
And Japanese wrestling.
Yeah.
My first live ECW, my first live match I went to, I went to Pennsylvania to work a show. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, let's go see this ECW place. I heard this is awesome. I went to the arena. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. I'll go see the show. It happened to be the Born to Be Wired, a Terry Funk and Sabu Bob Wire match.
Wow.
So seeing stuff like that, you know, I was like, whoa, you know.
So you were hardcore from the get-go.
And then ever since that, I was like, you know, always had to try to find, buy the taste, buy the Japanese, you know. And even come here, people sometimes give me a hard time because I know all the Japanese guys and a lot of the Japanese moves, so I refer to a lot of that sometimes. And some guys are like, oh, you know, that's that's that foreign stuff where they're fast-paced and they don't really... But for me, that's my type of style. And
do people tend to latch on to a style and then... champion it throughout their
career? Yeah, it's a lot like, you know, anything else, like mixed martial arts. Some guy might be training Tai Chi, but he's like, hey, I kind of like this certain style of Kung Fu, so you kind of mix it a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So I kind of think sometimes a lot of the guys who mix it are sometimes the better ones will find, in my opinion, more work because you can adapt to more different styles.
I see.
You know, which has made some of the better wrestlers in WWE. If you're able to adapt to someone else's style, you'll get a lot more push and work with other people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
So, other matches, of course, me versus Mooney.
Yes.
You know, and I can't say that. Like I said, I had a stiff tag guy sit next to him next when I was actually hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had
you were on commentary?
Yeah, I was on commentary because I had a fractious torn rotator cuff in my shoulder. And I just had to, you know, wait until that was healed. So the doctor said, you can go in. Because I tried to come in. I came a little too early and just re-injured it. So that's why I had to sit for a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
Then happy next to Mooney, and honestly, like, I respect Mooney. I respect Mooney as a veteran wrestler, knows the square circle. I look for him to be, a good opponent for me to get back in, show people what I got and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But honestly, the guy kind of really annoys me. I had to sit next to him, you know, he acts like he's on the Channel 7 News, you know.
Yeah.
But like, I respect the guy, but, you know, he kind of got under my skin a little bit. That's why when I came back, I was like, you're the first on my list because I have a list of people to prove what I've started to become. And I still hear a lot of people chant the stuff like Little Ben, Shadow a bit, and that's what drove me kind of. People don't understand, like, that them chanting that is what drove me to go in a ring and put it back to his head and to his back, just nail with a chair.
Yeah.
It was the people chanting Little Ben and Shadow. I could not stand that. So ultimately, they are responsible, not me.
Mm.
The crowd here at Rockstar Pro Wrestling is responsible for me turning on Chimera.
I see. Well, I wonder what Chimera would have to say about that. You think he agrees?
He could, but you know what? I can respect Chimera. He's a very, very good competitor.
Yeah.
Great psychologist in a ring. But you know what? I look to beat Chimera not just to beat him for any type of like belt, any type of win. I merely look to beat him for respect of the wrestling industry to look at me as a true competitor.
Fair enough. So we can expect a clean, fair match from you on the 18th?
You never know what happens in the moment in time, you know?
Fair enough. Yeah.
then we have the Dustin Thomas and Jake Owen match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have Sami Callihan and Rich Swann versus the A Squad.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah, that's going to be a match.
Is Beast getting in on the action? Full Moon Wrecking Crew? The full team?
Full Moon Wrecking Crew. This guy, Soul Shooters.
Taking on the Soul Shooters?
Yeah, Soul Shooters. The Soul Shooters are a very good tag team.
Yeah, they came in from Indy, is that right?
Yeah, they're from Indy. They great record of them wrestling. They've wrestled in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great, phenomenal wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they should kind of put it to the A Squad. You know, if I was betting, man, I'd bet on the Soul Shooters, but you know, I'm talking about money, you know, I got to talk about money.
Well, you know, Full Moon Wrecking Crew is a young team. Right?
Oh, yeah, I'll give them their respect. They're a good team.
It's just a matter of the veterans versus the plucky underdogs.
Full Moon, they definitely got the youth on their side.
Yeah,
you know?
And they'll certainly, without a doubt, have the crowd behind them as well.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Because the Dayton crowd loves its Full Moon record.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. I'm really excited about that. That's going to be a great event. Again, that's January 18th. Doors open at 7. $10 at the door?
Yeah, unfortunately, because it involves a cage. And there's besides the matches I've named, there's going to be a lot more matches than that.
Right. And if you come on Wednesday, that would be the 16th, mm-hmm. You can get pre-order tickets for a buck off, I think.
Yeah, pre-order ticket for $1 off. And like, so we always try to make shows and wrestling events price-wise comfortable to the crowd.
Yeah.
But due to this, we just incurred extra cost because it's a cage.
Oh, yeah. I think $10 for the card that's being featured is more than fair.
Oh, thanks, man.
Absolutely. So I encourage everybody to come. It's going to be a great time. You mentioned the falling apart of All About the Benjamins.
Mm-hmm.
You said the crowd is what made you turn on Chimera. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what brought you two together to begin with?
What brought us together is I had been training for a while, and I literally took my time training. I trained for like 2.5 years before I even stepped in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started watching the indie circuit around here, one of the first people I ever watched in a match was Chimera.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that guy's awesome, blah, 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 you know, great.
Great presence.
Oh, great, great, phenomenal, as far as, like, a total package wrestler, as far as, like, worker and mm-hmm. actually a performer.
Yeah.
He's the package.
Yeah.
You know, and so seeing him, I went to him with this concept, like, hey, Ben, you know, I really respect you as a worker. Mm-hmm. I think I can, me as a kind of a rookie, people forget I'm still a rookie of this, man. So I go to kind of veterans, like, tell me what you think I should, what I need to work on.
Right.
Can you help me make me better? And whatever I can do for you, then let me know. But all I can do is give you my respect for your wrestling and listen to whatever you tell me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chimera, I talked to Chimera. Me and Chimera always got along great. I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting, you want to start this tag team called the Benjamins?
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, that's awesome. He goes, yeah, I respect you as a rookie. You know, have great work ethic and all like that. So, yeah, let's do it. So there was the Benjamin. Simple as that. As simple as a 10-minute conversation with each other and being friends. Hey, let's do this, you know? And then slowly but surely, just hearing him saying, I'm carrying the whole team on my back. I'm like, wait, the team? I'm on that team.
Right.
You know, that combination and hearing the crowd going, little Ben, and you're his shadow.
Right.
So it's like, hey, you know, you guys only kept putting wood on the fire that was burning inside me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So, hey, you know, I think that happens in a lot of wrestlers' careers where, you know, they may start in a tag team or get into a tag team and mm-hmm. then, you know, sometimes you just got to go out on your own.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I'm on my own because Mathis and Taylor allow me to, if I'm going to fall,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna let me fall.
Okay.
But tell me what I did wrong that caused that.
Gotcha.
And they're giving me the aggression.
Yeah.
Which with Chimera, I was getting the aggression, but I wasn't getting quite the whole aggression, I think.
I see.
With Mass and Taylor, they're showing straight aggression.
Yeah.
That is, in my opinion, sometimes needed to overcome your opponent.
Okay. I think that's a good enough explanation. And that's one thing I really want to point out is, I feel like in the bigger promotions, the biggest promotions in your WWE and your TNA, at least in America, tag teams seem to be falling, you know, to the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Rockstar and some other independent promotions, tag team wrestling is just exploding. And mm-hmm. it's phenomenal. And I feel like tag team matches allow the crowd to get in at a certain level that they may not otherwise. So mm-hmm. I think that's another real strength of this promotion. It comes in the tag team.
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, in my opinion, that's what kind of made, that's why I sometimes watched, in the back in the day, WCW or WCW more than I would watch WWE, because there were so many more tag teams in WCW.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some great ones. I mean, WWE, yeah, terrific tag teams, but they didn't have Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express back in the day.
Yeah.
You want to see that? Or you want to see the Russians? You know, you watched WCW and NWA was more of a tag team formulation.
Yeah.
And it is a shame that WWE is like that now. There's, in my opinion, if you have belts and you're fed, heavyweight champion, tag team champion is the two main ones.
Right.
You know, and for WWE, it's just, it's just them trying to, in my opinion, go to the more mass appeal and single superstars and, you know, due to, like I said, nowadays it seems like teamwork's kind of went out the door.
Right, it's more individual personality.
Hey, here's my own Facebook account. Here's my Twitter account. Okay, great. You're a person. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, we all are.
Yeah. Well, that, and that's, again, I think one of the strengths of the whole indie circuit is they know their fans,
mm-hmm.
and they do everything within their power in these indie promotions to reach out to their fans and give them what they want.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Whereas, you know, when you're, you know, a huge television show, you have to cater to, you know, the masses.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have those, you know, coloring books and ice cream pops, mm-hmm. and, you know, things to get, you know, the little kids and the grandparents into it.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you get your a little bit more hardcore and knowledgeable fan, I mm-hmm. think, at the local level. So you've mentioned also bringing in a lot of great outside talent of late.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Rich Swann and Sammy Callahan,
mm-hmm.
They've spent time in, what, like Dragon Gate? And
CZW.
CZW, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Right? Yeah, PWG.
ROH. Sammy has
ROH,
been
ROH, yeah. Sammy, I mean, Sammy just seems like he's been everywhere.
Yeah.
And Rich has been everyone, it seems like, too. I mean, especially Dragon Gate. In my opinion, I like Dragon Gate.
Yeah.
I like, you know, the high explosiveness of it. Yeah. A lot of people aren't, you know, you got two fans, in my opinion. You have, like, the people who are into, like, the fast, hard-hitting stuff, and the people who are into, like, the sports entertainment.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I can go either way. Yeah. I understand both of them.
Right.
You know, but Rich is, like, a hard-hitting guy and stuff like that. And Sammy Callahan, his workmanship in the ring is great, but I love, like, the new horror, all that. Like, I love the whole package, you know? It's great.
Yeah, I was blown away on Wednesday watching that Triple Threat match.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys just performed on an incredible level.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to how Rockstar is able to bring in these great wrestlers?
Cody Hawk.
Yeah, it all comes down to Cody.
Cody trained Sammy Callahan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Cody goes back to the HWA days when he was Les Thatcher and all that. And back in those days, it was a lot of it was Shark Boy and Cody Hawk who trained a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cody Hawk's responsible for training Nigel McGuinness. He's responsible for training Sammy Callahan.
Right.
You know, so it's like that's why this. Once you get trained by somebody, you're like their boy.
Right.
Not in a bad way, but you're like, hey, I'll do where you took the time and effort to train me.
Yeah.
What do you need? You know, and he hadn't be coming back to his area for a little bit, you know, and those guys are going to be here for a couple months. So it's like, those guys are merely here because they see the product we're doing is really good and we're being professional and everything.
Right.
And plus, Cody's here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's all come together in a really great package. I was here. When was this? Maybe a month and a half ago, maybe? When, kind of out of the blue, Jimmy Wang showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I looked at my friend who came with me, and we were like, is that who we think it is?
Yeah.
You know, it was really exciting and surprising, you know, to see people who you recognize from elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just showing up in your hometown promotion.
And, I mean, that's only going to get more and more and more.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy, I never really knew Jimmy until he showed up here. I was like, hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Yeah.
We talked about, because I'm a huge fan of Japanese baseball, so mm-hmm. I talked about Japanese baseball with them and a few other wrestling things, and in June I'm going to Japan to train for 2 weeks.
Oh, excellent.
So it's like, I talked about things here and there with that, but yeah, same way, I had the same reaction when he shows up, like a fan would. I'd be like, hey! But then you know him, and you're like, okay, now he's an opponent of mine at some point in time, so.
Yeah. Do you get excited, Beast, when you see these guys come in?
I'm a superstar.
Always eloquent, the great American Beast. So, you know, I feel like I get really excited and geek out about the whole indie scene. You know, what is it about independent wrestling that has you excited? What trends do you, you know, really get behind, either worldwide or just here in Dayton?
Let's see, as far as indie scenes go, I like the workmanship, and actually they do matches. You know, Raw and SmackDown, I think they have an average of like 22 minutes of actual wrestling on a 2 hour. And like that is real. It's like you only have that much. We're here in the indie circuit, you have a great connection with the crowd. Mm-hmm. It's same like an indie band.
Yeah.
You know, there's no huge barricade
to
separate you. Like, it's kind of like they're like your own personal show sometimes.
Yeah.
Where big production, it's like, okay, we're going to see a show.
Right.
Where indie is like, we're going to be part of the show.
Yeah, there's ownership, I think.
Yeah, there's actual ownership. And yeah. We allow the fans. Like, fans don't realize how much sometimes they move, like, stories or something. Yeah. Or, like, move an opponent. Like I said, the crowd here, like, who knows if... not hypothetically, if I was working for WWE, I wouldn't care what the crowd was saying sometimes.
Right, yeah.
The only reason I might care is if I was going to lose my job or something. Right. Or not buy my t-shirts.
Right.
You know? But a crowd here in the indie circuit made me feel emotionally feeling about myself and my tag team partner.
Right.
You know? Made me, am I doing the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what they're saying might be true. It made me actually question myself as a wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
And the crowd here is amazing.
Oh, it's I can only compare it to, like, early years ECW.
Yeah.
You know? I watch so much wrestling on the internet and on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see crowds chanting like that, unless it's, like, a CZW or WWE or something. Like, even TNA, sometimes the crowds is like...
Yeah, just sitting there.
Great! You just did 360 out of the ring. Right. All right. It's like, they're not wrestling fans. They're just having to be in Disneyland or something.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, it feels like there's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of communicating between the wrestlers and the crowd. You know, Beast, you and Brannigan, you know, come out and run around in the crowd after a match.
Toot toot.
Exactly. The Pain Train, right?
Yeah, that's
Pain Train's a fan favorite here.
So,
yeah, I feel like that's, again, I have to agree with you. That's something that you only get at this level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may just be, you know, 50 or fewer people, you know, paying to get in.
Yeah.
But those people get their money's worth, and they know it, and they love it. And I think they really do show appreciation and interaction.
Oh, no, they do. I mean, you know, like I said, a lot of them don't like me. Yeah, sure. I can understand why. You know, believe me, I'm not out there trying to win their liking of me contest.
Right, yeah.
Well, I'm there to show, hey, here's work.
And right.
You can clap for my work or you cannot, you know. Even when I'm out there getting my butt whipped, at least they can still somewhat, they still seem like they appreciate the stuff I'll go through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think, fans of indie wrestling, whether they love you or hate you as an individual, they will always show appreciation for hard work and for good wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoy that about it, you know, that even when, you know, the hated bad guy, you know, does the most devastating move on, you know, the most beloved wrestler in the promotion, people will give that individual their due and say, hey, you know what? They'll stand and clap and say, that was an amazing move.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if they don't like the result of the match, they'll show that appreciation. I think that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned just earlier on when we started talking about training with Cody. And Cody has his own school here at Rockstar Arena.
Yeah.
Twice a week, right?
Twice a week. And we're starting to have, like, open gyms because there's actually starting to be, like, more people coming in and stuff like that. But, Sundays and Mondays here at 7 o'clock, anyone's ever interested, just show up and talk to us.
Yeah.
You know, that's we get so many people that go to our website and, like, it's my dream to be a wrestler. Yeah. Well, like, show up Sunday or Monday.
Yep.
Or show up anytime and talk to us. And you'd be amazed how many people, this is their dream. Just like, everyone has, like, their dream.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is follow through with it.
That's
all you gotta do.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people are like, oh, it's my dream, and then they don't show up.
Right.
Or people come here, man, you know, the whole F word, as in fake wrestling.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, it's this and that. Like, people come here, this is hard work.
Absolutely.
There's so many people who come here and train for one day, like, ex-Marines, you know, 19-year-old kids who just got off the football all-star team and come here for 2 hours, like, I can't ever do that again. I can't move.
Yeah.
I can't do anything. Like, as Cody says, hey, thank me tomorrow when you're sitting on your porcelain throne, you can't get up.
Yeah.
You know? It's true.
Well, his infamous, I guess, method is the school of 10,000 the Hindu squats.
Yeah, because if you mess up, you're out of the ring, and you're doing squats until he tells you that get back in the ring.
Oof.
You know, I mean, literally, when I start with Moxley, you know, Dean Ambrose, my first 6-7 months, Oh my, I could barely walk.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like anyone who questions if this is tough or this is real,
mm-hmm.
come here for 30 minutes and train.
Yeah.
I will place money on it.
Yeah.
Come here.
You know? So what makes a Hindu squat different from a regular squat?
The performers. Like Hindu squat is, they do it in Japanese training schools a lot of times, so it's known as that type of squat. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. I see.
It's Ric Flair. If you ever hear Ric Flair talk about how he stays in shape to this day, it's because he wakes up every day and does 50 squats, Hindu squats. He's like, you gotta do squats and push-ups.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if you had to sum it up, Beast, what do you think? Because you were an early graduate of the training program.
First day sick was at the door.
Some tough times, but you made it through.
I guess.
Yeah, and again, I think the crowd really respects that, right? To see somebody who, you know, work their way from just training, you know, as hard as they can to getting on those, you know, big shows and getting the fan following.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm amazed when people come here and, like, just can't do the training.
Yeah.
But will still call themselves a wrestler and go wrestle, I mean... Not to knock on anything else, but we'll go to a company that I personally feel isn't up to our standard.
Yeah.
And we'll go wrestle there and be like, oh, I'm great. I'm wrestling some guy in white Reeboks.
Right.
You know? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Come on.
So do you think Cody sets the standard higher than
Cody sets
a lot
the standard.
Of our trainers?
Cody sets the standard for someone who could come here and train and one day go to WWE.
Yeah.
I believe that 100%.
Cool. Well, and again, this isn't just me sucking up to you guys. I really do think that there is some amazing talent in this promotion. And I think you're right. I think that given that rigorous training schedule and, you know, performing every Wednesday night, you know, coming in and training during the week, I have no doubt in my mind that there are individuals within this promotion that, have that superstar potential.
Yeah, and I mean, they may not make it WWE, but let's not forget, man, there's TNA, there's Japan, there's Mexico, there's Canada.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of places. For me, my goal is never, I don't ever think I will make it to WWE.
Yeah.
Just because my size.
Right. Well, how tall are you? Just
like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah. And if you don't look like Ryback, it's difficult to get into the WWE.
If you don't look like Ryback or you're not someone's kid.
Right.
You know, go to FCW or it's NXT now.
Yeah.
And hope that you make it.
Yeah.
You know? But the indie circuit, there's great profitable... You can be indie circuit worker and make a living off it.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of guys who have survived off it for years.
Yeah.
You know, Sami Callihan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dean Ambrose.
Right.
Moxley. Those guys, you know, they're the golden childs of the indie circuit.
Yeah.
You know? And they have every reason to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's something very unique and very special in and of itself, I feel. And you also mentioned how I think one of the strengths of Rockstar is that, yes, there's excellent wrestling, but you also pull in music. And I believe coming up February 2nd, there's a big Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, big Battle of the Bands. But you know, it goes back to how I was saying, it's like wrestling and everything... It's all about entertaining.
Yeah.
Being entertainment. Even if you're going there and you're bashing each other in the face or throwing chairs on each other, it's still entertainment.
Right.
Music's just another part of that entertainment section, you know? So, we have great bands. Here we got the Ballad of Bands. We got the Contortionist coming up, which is a phenomenal band. Amazing.
I'm unaware of them.
Like metal-ish. Okay. Like math metal-ish.
Cool.
Phenomenal. We'll probably have like 200-300 kids show up.
Awesome.
I mean...
And they're always all ages shows,
all ages,
right?
Shows, because we feel like when I was a kid, I got to go to shows in all ages. And, you know, I'm an older guy now, and I don't feel like kids nowadays get the same thing that I got when I was a kid.
Right. Especially with... I heard the Attic Close.
Oh, yeah, the Attic Close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't feel kids get the same. When I was like 16, 17, if I knew there was a wrestling training school that did wrestling shows every Wednesday, I would be there.
Right.
You know? I didn't know about HWA until I was like in my early 20s. It was too late.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think you've seen that. Did Nate Wings come here just straight out of high school?
Yeah, he came right out of high school, yeah.
And, I, you know, I feel like that's exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Giving, you know, kids in the area who have a passion for it.
Yeah.
And aren't just, you know, daydreaming about it, but really want to do it.
Yeah.
The opportunity to get their foot in the door.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, and this whole venue is about giving back to the community
mm-hmm.
and passing along. You know, yeah. In 10 years from now, this venue will still be here.
Yeah.
But we gotta have other new blood.
Right.
You know, and like I always see kids at shows and meet people and they start talking about, well, you know, I've always wanted to get in music. I'm like, show up and I'll show you.
Yeah.
Because you never know when the next person who can run this will come from.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. And it does feel very community centric,
mm-hmm.
As you said. You know, it Dayton as a whole, but it feels like there's a really nice, you know, core group of people in the wrestlers and, you know, the support staff and the mm-hmm. crowd showing up every week who mm-hmm. just love it. And it's just a really positive vibe, I feel.
Oh, yeah, I believe it is. It's a positive feel, even though the grumpy people like me come in and yell and tell everyone they suck. And
right.
I'm going to sit in the corner in the dark, you know, don't bother me until my match starts. But that's just me. Sometimes a bitter person because
sure.
of stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, to each his own, right? We
yeah.
can't hold that against you. As long as you show up in the ring, that's what we're paying
yeah,
our money for.
Exactly.
Right? So that's awesome. Is there anything else either one of you guys want to tell the world before we wrap it up?
Not much besides just come to the shows, man. You'll see
mm-hmm.
one of the best wrestling shows. I mean, we get the chant on a regular basis now better than TNA, and
yeah.
sometimes I honestly believe that.
Oh, as I
you
said,
know?
I feel the tag team division in Rockstar Pro
mm-hmm.
is far and away better than the tag team divisions. You know, I'm not talking
mm-hmm.
about individual wrestlers
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but the actual division,
yeah.
I'd say it's better than WWE or TNA.
Yeah.
There's just great pairings of individuals
mm-hmm.
here, and it makes for a really entertaining show.
Oh, totally. I mean, like I said, my heart when I was younger was with ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what made ECW so good is because every guy in that back of that locker room wanted to make each individual in the back locker room better.
Yeah.
Everyone was there to make each other better.
Yeah.
And I believe that's in our locker room.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Rookies are talking to veterans.
Yeah.
Veterans are talking to rookies.
Yeah.
People to help each other out. You know, if someone gets hurt, there's 5 people there to help them.
Right.
You know, if someone's car breaks down, okay, who needs to go get this guy? You know,
right.
it's really a family. And we, nowadays, it's like we're getting so many people texting us and emailing us to come work here.
Mm-hmm.
We have meetings because we think of us as a family now.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, it's a vote. Like, raise your hand if you want this guy in here.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, all I can do is suggest wrestlers and workers, you know, we're still in the beginning era. We're getting in the middle of the beast right now,
yeah.
you know.
No,
I'm sorry. I knew I was coming for trouble when I said
beast.
That. Yeah. But, yeah, I feel like right now is the prime, and not the prime, but the prime for someone who wants to get into a organization
mm-hmm.
who's growing fast and going to be something great.
Yeah.
Is right now, because the later it gets, the
harder
it's going to
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's a good good way to wrap it up. A call to arms to young wrestlers.
Exactly. Even kids, musicians, or anyone who just wants to learn, hey, I want to come and learn production.
Right.
Email us.
Yeah.
If you're honestly true and you want to learn this, we will teach you.
Yeah.
But that means you have to show up and have your heart in it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then it's useless for you to show up. There's 3 people who want your spot.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. So now is the time. No better day than today.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Rockstar Wrestling or Pro Wrestling is every Wednesday.
Yep.
Doors open at 7.
Yes.
Bell at 7:30. And coming up on January 18th, that's a Friday night, is the big flesh versus mesh match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it mesh versus flesh? I always get it switched.
I think mesh versus flesh.
Yeah, I think you're right. So that's going to be a great time. There's a great card. And don't forget, February 2nd will be the big Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
6 or 8 bands?
It's
right?
Like, I think it's 8 bands, and then like I said, just always go to our website, rockstarprowrestling.com.
Mm-hmm.
We post a lot of our concerts And anyone who wants to inquire about our school or venue or anything is always more welcome to go there. Like I said, we don't have tech guys.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to one of us, you go through that, and you will talk. You can come through the front door,
right,
and ask to talk to someone who actually works for Rockstar, and someone will actually come to you and talk to you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. So please come check it out. My thanks to the man known simply as Michael, and of course the great American Beast. Yes, here joining me on Sometimes the Berry to you on AquabearLegion.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. So, pretty sweet, eh?
Yeah, that's wrestling. That's wrestling.
It is. You know, some might call it wrestling.
Nah, you know, that's not cool.
Hey, what's not cool about that?
It's pejorative, you know?
Well, no, you know what? I don't think it is. I think it was, initially...
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been pejorative, but I think it was embraced... Mm. By the good folk who were pioneers of professional wrestling, because, you know, people would go to these carnivals or whatever, I think, and you know, expect amateur wrestling, you know, expect, like, Olympic wrestling. So they just kind of, I think, embraced that notion of wrestling. Okay. But I don't know, you know, I'm sure it can be used multiple ways.
Fair enough, you know, in a very insular situation, I could see it, you know, as being, this is the way we roll, this is the way we talk about our own people and our own, you know, interests and our own, hobbies, you know, I guess?
Yeah, totally. Cool. It becomes a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
Sweet, well, there we have it. Let's, one last time, pimp the... Mesh versus Flesh match, January 18th. It's going to be an awesome card. $10 at Rockstar Pro Arena on 3rd Street in downtown Dayton. Bam.
Drop the... Bells at
seven. No, it's cool. Drop the what?
Drop the Rockstar website, too.
Yeah, it's rockstarprowrestling.com. Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty easy to remember.
Well, you know, some people get... sidetracked by a Google algorithm that takes them to a sports drink. So
yeah, that's
or not
that's
a very... fucking sports drink. What the fuck is Rockstar? I don't know.
It's a energy drink. It's a video game development house.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And publisher, I suppose. Now.
It's people.
Yeah, it's people, man.
It's people. It's a
type of parking. It's all sorts of things. But it's also wrestling, and awesome wrestling. Let's stop rambling and get out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
Growl.
Hello, this is... Beast! Would you be quiet? I'm trying to tell the people who I am and what I'm doing. Here, take this snack. Go get it. Okay. This is Michael, and you're listening to Sometimes the Bear Eats You on AquabearLegion.com. And of course, you're one source for the Force.